All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so, I just took a week off from the show, and I'm back. I took a week off for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a time where a lot of families come together, extended family, in-laws, what have you, come together, eat a meal, and catch up. And during this catching up process, there may be a few conversations about the next generation of a family. And so in this particular juncture in time, it's quite an interesting dilemma because many millennials and younger Americans, 20, 30 year old Americans are grappling with the idea of whether they want children or not. And particularly in light of the current pandemic, that makes this question a little more difficult. And what's interesting about this is that over the last 50 years, birth rate in the US has dropped off significantly. Over the last 60 years, actually. So you have a situation where in 1961, the average birth rate for 1961 was 3.65 babies per mother, and now it is at 1.70, which is below replacement rate of 2, as it obviously takes 2 people to create a human being. And so when you look at this, you wonder, okay, well, why is this? Why is this happening? Is there any particular reason? And is it a potentially troubling trend as time goes on? And the answer to both of those questions is yes. There is a reason. Well, there are a number of reasons. And yes, it is troubling as time goes on. Even from an economic standpoint, this is a troubling development if it is not addressed. And so I think it would first be important to look at why this is happening. Why this is happening, I'm going to get into, like I said, answering the question on why this is happening and sort of break them down thematically, some of these regions, the reasons sort of bundled together in different themes. And then at the end of this, I'm going to go over my pitch to solve these sort of problems, or at least begin to solve them. I'm not going to offer up as if I have the answer, but what I think will help as far as I can see it. So anyway, I'm gonna start with an article from the New York Times that surveyed a lot of millennial would-be parents existing parents and figured out either why they decided to either put off, not have additional kids, or to not have children in the first place. And here are some of the main reasons, some of the most popular ones. Child care is too expensive. They want more time for the children they already have. They're worried about the economy. They can't afford children. Waited because of financial instability, wanted more leisure time, not enough or no paid family leave, global instability, work-life balance, etc., etc. So there are a number of different themes in that that I wanted to get into. And I'm sure the most obvious one, as it was to me, and hopefully it would be to you, was that the economic theme. That's the big one. Financially, it's a very tough thing to have a kids. It's a very tough thing to have kids these days. They're very expensive. And so I think it's worth looking at that piece first. So in terms of childcare costs, it varies by state, as obviously the US dollar has different purchasing power in different states. But it generally varies. But the federal average is going to be about $1,230 per month, or $14,760 a year. It varies from $6,000 to $20,000 depending on the state, but that $14,000 number is the average. That's how much it would cost to raise one child in the early years of their lives. That's a big number. That's a lot to think about. And obviously, the more children you have, that number compounds, much higher is the more children you have. And so to families who make anywhere from $30,000 a year to $50,000, that's $60,000. I mean, it's a significant chunk of their income that would be going to these children. And it's a tricky situation. Because typically, the U.S. defines it as about 7% or less of annual household income is what would be defined as affordable childcare costs. And in many of these cases, even in a situation where it's on the cheaper end, $6,000 a year, that could still be well over 7% for many, many families in the South. And so this number is just too high. And having a child is just too expensive for a great number of people, and especially having multiple children is just too darn expensive. And that's what makes this tricky, especially for poorer families that don't have the means. Even for well-off families, it's still a significant financial burden, but which might make them more hesitant, but it doesn't out and out exclude them in the same way that it does poorer families and more low-income families across the U.S. And typically, those are families of color, which makes that all the more complicated. And as is the case with most things, there is a racial piece to this as well that is also very troubling. And so that's just the personal financial piece of it. The second piece I wanted to get into was the whole work-life balance situation. And all these are connected, by the way. They all come together at the end. Many people cited that that working was too big of an issue in terms of even paid family leave, which is a situation where the U.S. is way behind other nations around the world. So, and family and medical leave in the U.S. is very low. And it's really at the discretion of the organization that you work for. Whereas in other countries around the world, such as like the Czech Republic, that's 28 weeks, Hungary, 24 weeks, Italy, 5 months, Canada, 17 weeks, these are all examples. There are significant stretches of time. It's pretty much more than half the year in the case of the Czech Republic that you can take off as paid maternity leave. But in the U.S., you don't really have that. And it is codified in law. It is really at the discretion of the place that you work for, which leaves a lot of people without access to paid family leave. And that puts us, let me see what these numbers were exactly. In the U.S., the Bureau of Labor Statistics did a survey in March of 2021 and found that only 23% of civilian workers had access to paid family leave. Which is remarkably small compared to the 100% that you see in other countries. And so that makes it difficult to have a child because you're not covered, and any extra time you take is unpaid leave, and that is money against you. And it's particularly, again, if you look at and you're a lower income citizen of the United States, you're already not getting paid a lot. And on top of that, if you take more unpaid leave, you're cutting into your already low salary, which makes it even harder to have and care for a child, especially, again, when you add more in there. And so that's bucket number two, the work situation. So we have the personal financial situation, and you have the work situation. Both of those make it hard. And then the third bucket I wanted to look at would be the political/economic environment. And this, to me, is where it all comes together. If you look at a few of these justifications and these reasons for not having children, you have worried about the global instability and worry about the economy, worry about climate change. And these are all things that are all going on in the background of your lack of family leave, the salaries that aren't up to snuff, and the expensive care of children. You have this all seated in this national and international political environment that throws all that into chaos. You have the looming threat of climate change. And really, it isn't even looming anymore. The immediate threat of climate change that threatens generations, specifically the next generation of American children, and really children around the world. And when you continue to look at this political situation, you have the Great Recession, where families who were hit hard, particularly by the Great Recession, haven't been able to to get that money back in the same way that wealthier Americans have. I found this study from Pew that was done that said the richest families, this is a quote, the richest families are the only group to have gained wealth since the Great Recession. That means the highest fifth and the top 5% of earners of wealthiest families in the United States are the only ones who have put more wealth back in following the Great Recession on average. You know, income inequality is rising. More money is being sent to the top of these organizations, the wealthiest individuals in the nation. The wealthier people are getting money, right? They're acquiring a lot more money, and they're acquiring a lot more wealth. And the difference between income and wealth is actually an important distinction to make here as well. Wealth is not just the money you take in from a job or anything like that in any given year. That's existing things, assets like houses and cars and things, and that is wealth. In addition to annual income, that is wealth, and that's where a lot of the money is coming from. Because if you look at income inequality, it's stark. Certainly, the upper income groups do make a lot more. But it is not as stark as with wealth, and that's where a lot of the money lies. It's in generational wealth that it goes from one generation of the family to the next, and as that wealth is continually concentrated in fewer hands and fewer families, that leaves less and less for the rest of the families in the United States and in the world at large. So just, again, I'm just going to restate that because that did sound a little funky. There are fewer families that more money is moving to. So while the top families are earning more money, the top number of families is shrinking. So you have fewer families getting access to a lot more money while everyone else is being forced to fight over what's left. And obviously the pandemic has just made that all the worse. And so, well, why is that? Well, you hear a lot about wage stagnation as well. And that's, again, this is a connected concept where you have wage stagnation coming from. People love to point to automation and cheap labor available overseas. And while that's true, that's where a lot of that wage stagnation is coming from. But it doesn't necessarily mean that these private firms are losing money because, as I've just stated, the wealthiest individuals are still making a lot of money. The money is just not trickling down, to use a Reagan term, the money is just not trickling down to the employees. And so when we bring this all back together, you have just very, very much an unstable financial economic situation as far as the U.S. is concerned in the last 10 to 15 years. You have wages that have not gone up. You have childcare costs that are very high. You have climate change knocking on the door, banging on the door at this point. And you have a situation where the question becomes up, who can afford a kid? Well, I'm just going to quickly run through a few solutions I have in mind. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of moving parts with this issue, but these are things that I think would work to address this. And these are many things of these actually are, many pieces of this are things that the Biden administration has already put forward, but I'm just going to keep going on them anyway. So the first part is going to be imposing a higher tax rates on things like capital gains. And that's stuff that that's income and wealth pieces that would be taxed, and it would involve the redistribution of that wealth. The estate tax is another piece of that that would work very well to redistribute wealth from richer families and put it in the hands of everyone else. So it would give more families more of a chance to make it financially so that the wealthier families aren't hoarding all of the cash in the system. And it's in addition to that, you'd have an expansion, well, an establishment and an expansion of paid family leave. I don't want to get into the How long, that's not for me to figure out, but I think that there should be an establishment of paid family leave in the United States, because it is really unfair, and it hurts our own economy if we don't have children, and this will make it easier for people to have children. In addition, I think there should be an expansion of the child tax credit. That obviously pays people to have children indirectly. It's a situation that makes it easier for people to have kids. It incentivizes it and cuts down on that very high burden. And in addition to that, I believe that there should be expanded subsidies towards public universities throughout the United States, because that's another piece that is going to cut down on expenses of raising a child. And I believe all of these measures taken together will go a long way to make raising a child in the future more affordable. And so it'll answer the question and expand the people who are involved when you answer the question, who can afford a kid?